a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
It's 9:30 a.m., September 17th. We're in 413 of the Capitol Building in Pierce, South Dakota. I'd like to welcome everyone today. We have two items on our ad hoc agenda. My name is Gary Hansen. With me today are Commissioners Chris Nelson and Christy Fegan. We will first check to see who is on the telephone with us. Ms. Mishach Rhodes?
I am here, thank you.
Randy Falkenberg?
I'm here.
Basil Copeland?
I'm here.
Dave Peterson?
Yes, I'm here.
Ms. Kafita Miney? I'm sure I slaughtered that.
No, that was great. Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. Is there anyone else on the telephone with us today? If not, we will begin then with our first docketed item, which is EL-12-061, in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power Incorporated for authority to increase its electric rates. The questions that are before us today are, today shall the Commission grant Black Hills Power and Walmart's joint motion for approval of settlement agreement, and shall a commission grant Black Hills Power and Black Hill Industrial Intervenors joint motion for approval of settlement agreement, and shall a commission grant staffs and Black Hill Power's joint motion for approval of settlement stipulation. This is a joint motion between Black Hills Power and Walmart. I'll let Black Hills Power go first. Mr. Magnuson, are you representing BHP?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chairman Hansen. Thank you, Chairman Hansen, Commissioners Nelson, Commissioner Fegan. If it'd be okay, I'll give my opening statement with regard to the entire 061 matter, not specifically with regard to Walmart, but of course Walmart will be included in that if that's acceptable.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Lee Magnuson. I represent Black Hills Power, Inc. in this matter. I'm with the Lindquist and Venom Law Firm in its Sioux Falls office. Also with me today is Todd Brink, the Senior Counsel for Black Hills Corporation. Black Hills Power filed on December 17, 2012, its application for authority to increase electric rates. Over the last several months, Black Hills Power has answered questions of staff and provided additional information and documents. Black Hills Power was able to work with staff and resolve the issues in a thorough, professional, and business-like manner. Black Hills Power is here today to request approval of a settlement stipulation between Black Hills Power and staff. That stipulation and the exhibits are on file herein. Additional documents have been filed by Black Hills Power in this matter, including the application, exhibits to the application, and supporting written testimony. We understand that these documents are all part of the record and that there's no need to request that they be admitted into evidence. With me in this hearing room are two witnesses from Black Hills Power. The first is Kyle White, two down from me on my left. Mr. White is Vice President of Regulatory Affairs for Black Hills Corporation. The second person is to my immediate left. His name is Chris Kilpatrick. He's the Director of Regulatory Affairs for Black Hills Corporation. The two of them will be here for the duration of the hearing and will be available to answer any questions that you might have. While I believe that Mr. White and Mr. Kilpatrick will be able to answer any questions that you have, I do have available all or nearly all of the witnesses that pre-filed testimony in this matter, and they would be available by telephone. Finally, I would like to note that we do have many Black Hills Power representatives in the hearing room today, and with Chairman Hansen's indulgence, I would like to introduce those people briefly. The first is Wendy Mosier, the Vice President of Regulatory Services and Resource Planning for Black Hills Corporation. The second is Vance Crocker, Vice President, Electric Operations. The third is Chuck Loomis, the Vice President for Energy Asset Optimization. We also have Mike Tice, the Director of Utility Strategies for Black Hills Power. We have Amy Koenig, Corporate Counsel. We have Melanie Tony, Rate Analyst. And we have consultant Jill Teachin of Technically Speaking, Inc. of Denver, Colorado. Two groups of Black Hills Power customers intervened in this matter. The first group, consisting of GCC Dakota, commonly known as the cement plant, Rapid City Regional Hospital, Rushmore Forest Products, Spearfish Forest Products, and Pete Lean and Sons, intervened and are going to be collectively referred to as the Black Hills Industrial Interveners, or the Industrials. Black Hills Power was able to reach a resolution of this matter with the Black Hills Industrial Interveners, and that settlement agreement is before the Commission today, and Black Hills Power requests approval of that settlement. Finally, the other intervener group is Walmart Stores, Inc. and Sam's West, Inc., which I will simply refer to as Walmart. Black Hills Power was able to settle with Walmart, and Black Hills Power requests approval of that settlement agreement that is on file in this matter. I do have one note of a change to the documents that have been filed, and there may be additional changes, but with regard to the customer notice that is Exhibit 4 to the stipulation between staff and Black Hills Power, there needs to be a minor change to that, and I will cover that at the appropriate time. Thank you for the opportunity for Black Hills Power to answer questions in support of these settlement agreements that are before the Commission today, and at the appropriate time, I'll make my witnesses available to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Ms. Rhodes with Walmart, do you have some comments to make? You may be on mute right now. We're not hearing you.
My apologies. I was indeed on mute. I have no additional comments to make.
Thank you. Are there any other, I don't believe, let's see, Black Hill Industrial and Walmart. I'm just looking to see if there's anyone else that needs to or is compelled to speak at this moment. Oh, there. Thank you.
Chairman Hansen, commissioners, I am here today representing the Black Hills Industrial Interveners. I'm an attorney at Stoll Reeves in our Minneapolis office, and I'm happy at this time to make a few points in support of the settlement, if that is what the Commission desires.
Please.
Black Hills Industrial Interveners compete in a global marketplace. Even a relatively small change in input costs can significantly impact operations. One particularly sensitive input cost is the cost of energy. As a result, the industrials have intervened in every major Black Hills Power proceeding since the early 1990s. This case was no exception. The industrials have been active in the rate case docket, the phase-in docket, and there's also a proceeding which we call the generation pool study. We've been monitoring these proceedings and participating as best as we can. During the discovery phase of the rate case and the phase-in plan, we conducted extensive questioning, submitting numerous interrogatories exceeding 150 that resulted in voluminous evidence. We participated in group negotiations with Commission staff and other stakeholders, and also participated in meetings with Black Hills Power individually. After considering the risks and costs and inherent in any litigation, the industrials and Black Hills Power reached the global settlement that is before you today. It covers both the rate case and the phase-in. We firmly believe that the terms result in just and reasonable rates for our members, and that the resolution is supported by the parties' extensive and detailed analysis. We appreciate the Commission treating our resolution as confidential and recognizing that making our rates public could expose the industrials to unfair competitive risk. We're happy to answer any general questions the Commission may have regarding our settlement, and at this time have no further remarks.
Thank you. Do I pronounce your last name properly if I say Maratska? Please.
Mr. Chairman, yes, you do.
Thank you.
And if I did forget to note that Mr. Mark Marino is on my right as local counsel.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. We'll turn to staff. We have a number of staff members who have worked on this item. Ms. Kramer?
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. As noted by the other attorneys, the settlement stipulation reflects the efforts of many individuals. The parties worked through the issues and ultimately reached a result that's acceptable to Black Hills and staff. Staff believes we have reached an appropriate balance of all the various parties' interests. Staff analysts are present. Dave Peterson and Basil Copeland are on the phone and available for questions for the rate case. Staff recommends the Commission grant the joint motion for approval of the settlement stipulation and adopt the attached stipulation without modification for resolution of all the issues subject to the rate case proceeding for docket EL-12-061. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we go to questions from the commissioners, I believe that's everyone who's to speak on this item at this juncture. Mr. Magnuson, you alluded to an item on Exhibit 4.
That is correct. That is Exhibit 4 to the...
That is Exhibit 4 to the settlement stipulation. It is the customer notice. In the second paragraph, second line, we would delete the words, the commission approved the implementation of, and would insert Black Hills Power implemented, and then go on with interim rates effective June 16th, 2013. And we apologize for that error.
Thank you. I think probably each one of the commissioners had that as a note on a question to ask. Appreciate that. And our counsel did discuss that with us as well. A caution as much to myself as anyone else. We have a lot of confidential items that are on these agreements, and so we need to be careful, a little bit cautious on our questioning. I have a habit of getting into those by accident, so if I do, I'll appreciate it if everyone clears their voice and their throat at the same time and lets me know. I have a number of questions, but I think my other commissioners do as well, and I'll turn to commissioners to see if either one of them wants to begin. Do you have questions?
Are we taking Walmart first? Is that the one?
I think that's appropriate.
Okay.
But some of the questions certainly would be...
Because my questions are more on the rate case and not the interveners.
All right. Questions by commissioners. Commissioner Nelson?
I have only one question on this docket, and it relates to a confidential portion of the industrial interveners settlement. So however you want to handle that.
Well, we can certainly go to confidential. We will need to check the phone lines. Do we know the number of... We should only have... 246. Excuse me. Mr. Maratska is here, so I believe we should only have five people on the line.
Mr. Chairman, three of those people are staff people, and are we on Black Hills Industrial Interveners right now, Commissioner Nelson?
Correct.
You guys are going to have to answer this, and I'm assuming I know the answer, but please enlighten us. I'm assuming Walmart is not necessarily privy to the BHII settlement specifics. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So I guess we're going to have Ms. Rhodes get off the phone here. And who?
And then come back on, make sure she knows.
Yeah, and then come back on, right.
And if you're listening on the web, Ms. Rhodes, we will turn the web on and off, and that will be your clue to call in at that time.
Okay, that is no problem. I will jump off actually right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll wait for Sherry to let us know on the... And the number of phone lines. If you are listening, Ms. Rhodes, please join us. Do you have questions on this, Ms. Commissioner Fegan?
I just wanted to know if we're going to take the vote on the interveners and then go to the next item, or we're going to hold them all till the end.
We'll take them individually. The first question will be on Black Hills Power and Walmart. Then we'll take Black Hills Power and Black Hills Industrial Interveners. And then we'll entertain the question on the commission granting staff and Black Hills Power joint motion for approval of settlement stipulations.
So are you ready for your first motion?
If I could just ask a question of clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Because the interveners have offered a joint motion that, or a joint settlement that applies to both dockets, will the question that we're going to be asked in this docket only apply to that portion of their settlement that applies to this docket?
That's correct.
Thank you.
We're taking one docket at a time. And before we go to a motion, I'm just entertaining any questions at this juncture, if anyone has any questions. If not, there is... a question that has been, and to an extent it was discussed in confidential, but the received some letters from folks regarding why we need confidentiality, and that was explained to an extent, but I'd like to just have it on the record of why, just answering the public's question as to why we have some confidential portions of these agreements. It's an obvious question, an obvious answer, but I think it needs to be part of the record.
Sure. Just given the competitive nature that the industrial interveners operate in, having that information out there could impact them as they compete in the global markets, as stated by their counsel.
Thank you. And so parties that have... don't let me put words in your mouth. I just wanted to expand it a little bit for the public. So those companies that are reaching agreements with Black Hills Power do not necessarily want other companies to know what agreement they reached with you, since they are a private company. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you. Just trying to simplify it a bit. Are there any other questions at this time on this docket on the question, shall a commission grant Black Hills Power and Walmart's joint motion for approval of settlement agreement? If there's no further questions, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move that the commission grant BHP, Black Hills Power, and Walmart joint motion of approval for settlement agreement. And if I can go forward with that, anytime you have an intervener in confidentiality, as you know, it raises red flag. And what I want our taxpayers and our consumers and our ratepayers to know is that Black Hills Power has put all that extra expense and operation expense or loss of revenue into their shareholders' profit or revenue, and they're paying for it, not the ratepayers or not our consumers or not our residential homeowners. So I appreciate that, and it's kind of like an economic development gesture in the Black Hills. Black Hills Corp is a very much of an economic development player with vision and et cetera in the Black Hills, and I appreciate that. But I mostly appreciate it that it's not affecting the consumer and the homeowner that has raising costs, and thank you for having the shareholders pay for that.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. The question before the commission is, shall the commission grant Black Hills Power and Black Hill Industrial Interveners joint motion for approval of settlement agreement? Mr. Magnuson, do you have anything further to state on this?
I have nothing further at this time, just to offer up the two witnesses, Mr. White and Mr. Kilpatrick, in the event that there are additional questions.
Mr. Falkenberg, you have the stage.
Yes?
Chairman Hansen.
Drew, are you the...
Perhaps I didn't make it clear during my introductions. Mr. Falkenberg is the consultant on behalf of the industrial interveners. I am the counsel. If there are any technical questions, I'm happy to make Mr. Falken available for those questions and swear him in, similar to Mr. Kilpatrick and Mr. White.
Well, then my apologies to startling Mr. Falkenberg. Do you have anything at this time?
Nothing more, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And I'll turn to staff.
Staff takes no position on this.
All right. Thank you. Then questions by commissioners. I just have one that I failed to ask at the on the last item, and it too is result of questions that, in spite of maybe because of media, but a lot of people have asked about would any of these agreements with individual companies result in a subsidy to those companies, which, of course, would turn around and make the other ratepayers have to pay more for.
Yeah, there's nothing in the settlement with the industrial interveners that are impacting the other customers. The settlement is just alone with those industrials themselves, and any differences are picked up by the shareholders, and the rest of the customers are held harmless, basically.
Thank you very much. And any further questions from the commissioners? If not, is there a motion?
I will move in EL 12-061 that the Commission grant BHP and Black Hills Industrial Intervenors joint motion for approval of the settlement agreement portion that applies to this docket only.
Thank you. Discussion on that motion? Hearing none, Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Question before the Commission is, shall a Commission grant staff's and Black Hills Power's joint motion for approval of settlement stipulation? Mr. Magnuson.
We have nothing further at this time.
Mr. Muratska. Is there any reason?
Nothing, Mr. Chair.
Staff.
Thank you. Staff would just reiterate that we would recommend approval of the joint motion without modification. Thank you.
Thank you. And questions by the commissioners? If not, is there a motion?
Oh, I have questions. Don't you?
For Black Hills Power and the staff, and I guess I'm going to start with staff, and then Black Hills Power can help you. Incentive compensation and executive compensation is always a topic on rate cases. I see that the staff worked very hard on taking the incentive compensation out of the settlement that dealt with financial goals, and I certainly appreciate that because that certainly is a shareholder cost, not a ratepayer cost. Did you see an evaluation from Black Hills Power on their executive pay? And did they evaluate it to industry standards, and did you review that?
Dave Peterson, would you care to comment on that?
We did not perform a this is Dave Peterson, consultant commission staff. We did not perform a thorough, what we call, comparison with other executives, but we did look at their compensation and compensation of executives in the region, and their support for their executive compensation. Yes.
So then I'm looking at Black Hills Power and Black Hills Corp. What do you do for evaluation to make sure that ratepayers aren't paying some out of the industry standard for compensation?
Sure. We do industry analysis. We do locational analysis as well, given that we're in the Midwest, so we focus more on that area when we do our studies and surveys. And we are basically right at the midpoint of market, or actually a little bit lower as it looks at those salaries. So we definitely do the studies and ensure that we're not out of bounds from anybody in our region.
And keep on going on benefits and pension, and it looks like there's a 401k too that you guys must contribute to, not just the person, but and then retirement benefits. As you know, in the news, there's lots of Fortune 500 companies that are relooking at retirement benefits, dealing with medical and looking at their, if there should be a one sum or whatever. Are you continuing to analyze all that to make sure that we're within standards and not paying exorbitant amounts by ratepayers?
Yeah, we're constantly evaluating our benefit packages, looking at them in total, whether it's 401k, whether it's pension, whether it's medical benefits. I think the industry as a whole is experiencing, or going to be experiencing, a significant retirement over the next 5 years. And so we're all looking at ways to either find ways to retain those employees longer by offering different incentives, maybe different medical coverages. But we're always going to be competing for employees, especially going forward. So we are looking at market studies, making sure our compensation package is competitive in the marketplace, especially in our region. So it is a total package between the 401k match and benefit and health benefits.
And I certainly want it competitive so we have great employees that run a reliable electric company. I don't want it exorbitant, that it's a huge expense and different from any other industry. So are you looking to make sure we're kind of at the mid-level, or who does that study for you?
Sure. We have consultants that do studies for us to look at, again, the industry as a whole. And when we look at the marketplace and compare our salaries to our region and our area, we're actually below the average. We're a little bit below when we take that as a whole. And a portion of how we try to stay competitive is by our incentive plans, and that helps make up some of that difference so we can attract and retain our employees. But in general, we are right at market or a little bit lower.
And one more question, Mr. Chairman. It appears to me that the staff really worked hard on the blended ratio of how you allocate expenses to your different companies. Actually, it appears to me that the staff asked you to reallocate some expenses to Black Hills Corp from Black Hills Power. Can you explain to the commission how you allocate and how you do that, and how you'll look at it in the future? Because we want to make sure that the ratepayers at Black Hills Power pay their share, but not anything over that.
Sure. We have what's called a cost allocation manual that outlines how we make our charges to our different utilities. And every department within that cost allocation manual has allocation factors that try to allocate costs based on what causes the cost. One example is our human resource department. We try to allocate those costs based on number of employees at the different locations because we feel that's an appropriate way to allocate those costs. And so we are, you know, constantly looking at that to make sure that we have the accurate allocations to those different utilities. And before they're allocated, we have an ability to directly charge our companies as well. So if a specific employee is working on a specific company, they will directly charge that cost to them. So we have specific identification first for those costs, and those that then can't be specifically identified are allocated out. We did work with staff on that and made some tweaks to it, and we are going to continue to look forward to, again, ensure that as those costs are caused, you know, we're going to push those out to the appropriate utilities that utilize those costs.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I do have one more question. I certainly appreciate the class of cost of study and how you looked at different classes, and you hired somebody to do that cost of service according to classes, and we certainly appreciate that, and it is certainly a benefit to our homeowners and our residential lighting group. How often do you do that, and how often do you plan to kind of look at that cost of service according to class?
Sure. It's going to be more important going forward as we get better information of our customers. We've installed our AMI meters or automated meter information system. So we'll continually look at that going forward and try to allocate the costs as best we can to the class of customers that are causing those costs. Certainly, it's going to be, you know, guides. You can't do everything all at once. And we subscribe to kind of the gradualism concept. You want to gradually get there and try to continually move costs to the appropriate class of customer. And we think this case made a step in that right direction. And we continue to hope we'll continue to do that going forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Any further questions? If not, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I will move in EL 12-061 that the Commission grant staffs and Black Hills Power's joint motion for approval of settlement stipulation.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion?
You know, I would simply say that after having spent the time that I have, and I know that my fellow commissioners have, in reviewing all of the documentation that was submitted as part of this docket, it was apparent to me that both sides were very serious as they sat down in making sure that we arrived at the right number. And, you know, roughly a third of what Black Hills Power had requested has not been granted in this settlement. And I give great credit to our staff for very carefully going through the request and finding those things that ought not be allowed by law, and for the company being willing to say, yeah, that doesn't need to be there this time. And so with that, I think both sides have worked very hard to come up with an appropriate settlement as provided by law. And I think that's important to understand, that this is all guided by the parameters of state law as both sides work this through. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I've made the motion and intend to support it.
Thank you. Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I just want to also say thank you to the staff for working really hard for ratepayers and consumers. It is very evident, and Black Hills Power, you too, have really looked at the consumers this time, I believe, and really put them at the forefront by doing your cost of service study to classes. It is a 5.7% increase to them, but 43% less than you asked for when you filed your docket in December. And that's around, I think, 1.2% increase annually the last 3 years since your last rate case. It's about reliable service, and reliable service costs money. And a lot of people think this is all about the EPA and closing down the coal fire and building a new gas fire plant, but that's not really the case. The gas generation will be another docket. That will be another day. This rate case has all to do with closing down, the cost of closing down the three coal fire power plants, not the replacement of them, but the cost of closing it down. Also, I think our consumers need to know that this is a vegetation management issue in the Black Hills and Pine. Somebody asked me last week about the pine beetle and why that cost would affect rates. And I said, because it's all about reliable service. And if we have a fire in the Black Hills, we need reliable service. And vegetation management has increased because of the pine beetle. And that's a lot to do with this rate case and also all the adjustments that you and staff made on the test year, of course. And staff worked really hard for consumers. So I appreciate both of you working hard. I believe our homeowners have certainly been taken care of in a very prudent way, and we're trying to keep reliable, reasonable service at that level, including the business people and industrial. But thank you for your hard work. We appreciate it. We know it's taken hours and hours and hours, and we've only spent 35 minutes on this hearing, so we certainly appreciate all the thousands of hours, actually, that have been spent on this docket.
Thank you. Very appropriate remarks. Hearing no further discussion on the motion, Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. This brings us to the next docketed item, which is EL-12-062 in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power Incorporated for the phase-in of rates regarding construction financing costs of Cheyenne Prairie Generating Station. The question before the Commission is, today shall the Commission grant Black Hills Power and Black Hill Industrial Innovators joint motion for approval of settlement agreement? We will follow that with question, shall the Commission grant staffs and Black Hills Power joint motion for approval of settlement stipulation? Mr. Magnuson.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. I'm not going to repeat everything that I said in my initial opening with regard to 061. What I would note with regard to the phase-in case is that Black Hills Power and staff and Black Hills Power and the industrial interveners have gone through a lot of information, a lot of documents. They were able to resolve this matter. The settlement between Black Hills Power and the industrials is before this commission. We were able to reach a resolution and would respectfully request that that be approved. With regard to staff, the same thing. There has been a lot of discovery. There's been a lot of information flowing back and forth. There have been a lot of documents that have been provided and that have been reviewed. And the settlement stipulation between staff and Black Hills Power is before the Commission today, and we would respectfully request that that be approved by the Commission. There is one correction that I do need to make. It is with regard to the settlement stipulation. It's with regard to the confidential version. However, I do not believe that it is necessary to go into a confidential session. On page 6, paragraph 6, the last line, it references, quote, except as outlined in number 7 below, end quote. That phrase should read, except as outlined in number 8 below. And I understand that Ms. Kramer and staff concurs and agrees with that correction, and we would ask that the Commission note that correction on the record.
So noted. Thank you.
With that, Commissioner Hansen and Commissioners Nelson and Feagin, we would thank you for the opportunity to bring these settlement stipulations before the Commission. And as in the previous docket, I have two witnesses available, Mr. White and Mr. Kilpatrick, that I believe would answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Maratska.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, I also won't repeat my arguments. What I will do is note what may not be evident in our settlement with Black Hills Power. It may appear that the settlement is, in fact, pretty narrow with respect to the phase-in. What I would note is that the discovery that we did was heavily weighted towards the phase-in plan, and approximately two-thirds of our discovery requests were directed towards Black Hills Power's request with respect to the phase-in. And in reviewing the evidence and in participating in the discussions with Commission staff, we feel very comfortable with not just our settlement, but also with the settlement that Commission staff has reached. And so I urge the Commission to approve the second portion of the industrial settlement and also Black Hills Power settlement with Commission staff.
Thank you. Staff?
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. As in the rate case, the parties worked long and hard on this matter to accept or to reach a result that is acceptable to Black Hills and staff. Staff believes we have reached an appropriate balance of the various parties' interests. Staff analysts are here. Kavita and Dave are on the phone and are available for any questions. Staff would recommend the Commission grant the joint motion for approval of the settlement stipulation and adopt the attached stipulation without modification for resolution of all the issues subject to the phase-in for docket EL-12-062. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions by the Commissioners? Commissioner Nelson.
I'm not sure how you want to do this. I've got a number of questions that are confidential and a number that are non-confidential. I'd prefer to do the confidential first because I think that'll help me set the stage for the non-confidential, but however you want to work it.
I have If you'd prefer to start that way, then that's what we will do. I see Sherry is going to check the phones at the present time. And I just ask anyone who is not a party to docket 062 that if you're on the line, please get off the line.
Is this an intervener confidential question, or is this the whole docket?
I've got questions that apply to the confidential portion of the settlement stipulation and to the industrial intervener's settlement. So it covers both.
So just so Sherry knows who to...
At this juncture.
First of all, you know, this is interesting to have a phase-in case in front of us because it's relatively new for all of us. And when we look at your financing, we certainly appreciate that your team has worked extremely hard to get a low rate for financing. I certainly see this docket as a finance case, and we're looking at financing in South Dakota. I personally believe that we legally cannot pre-approve any type of generation. So I look at it as financing. I understand the staff might not oppose the generation, but the commission still needs to look at it again because we don't have pre-approval. But I certainly appreciate the financing. But in your own words, Black Hills Power, and I'm going to come to the staff to just so we can, and we're not in confidential session, but I certainly want the public to hear from the officers of Black Hills Power and then the staff to make their comments on the need for the power plant. Cheyenne, it appears to me that they are in need of capacity. There is certainly all sorts of opinions if Black Hills Power needs this right now. I also understand that timing isn't always perfect, and you just can't make it perfect all the time. And there are some things that I see that I certainly appreciate that I'll talk about later. But I want to hear from Black Hills Power and tie it into why you need it and why Black Hills Power consumers or ratepayers should not only pay for the financing but possibly put it into rates in the future, possibly, if the consumer or the commission agrees with that. Tie it into the closure of the coal-fired power plants. Also, additional EPA requirements that certainly it seems like every day there's something new with the EPA that are increasing ratepayers' costs. And then also the need for the combined cycle plant. And when you analyze that and tell us all of that, I also want to hear on your integrated resource plan, what other alternatives that you looked at?
Okay. Well, this is a very important decision for the customers of Black Hills Power, and we take those decisions very seriously. There are resource planning processes, resource planning tools that utilities utilize to make these decisions. In this case, we had not anticipated that we would be replacing generation anytime in the near future. But we have had a change in our power supply resources available to us. In 2011, we had a 25-year purchase power agreement with Rocky Mountain Power expire. The loss of that contract reduced the capacity available to us to meet our summer peak demands by 28 megawatts. We are a summer peak demand of about 452 megawatts, so a pretty material change in the resources that are available. We also became aware in 2011 when this work was done that the Environmental Protection Agency was going to enact some changes for industrial boilers. And essentially for us, that meant industrial boilers as applied to small coal-fired power plants. And so power plants that have been serving our customers for between 40 and 60 years now became the focus of new environmental regulations that will take effect next year, March 21st, 2014. In looking at our alternatives, one of the considerations was,
are there changes to those power plants that we can make that would be cost effective? And what we determined was that because of their size, because of the way they were constructed, because of their age, it would not be cost effective to retrofit them for these new pollution control technologies or to life extend them to allow for an appropriate amortization of the benefit of those new pollution control technologies. We also considered whether they could be converted to natural gas for their fuel source. That has been done to some of these smaller coal-fired power plants, but what you find is that they have a very high heat rate. And what heat rate means is the amount of fuel consumed in relation to the electricity produced. And so what it came down to was we need today's technologies to meet today's environmental regulations. And the Integrated Resource Plan then considered our loads and resources, considered environmental differences in the future, regulations, in particular what may occur with CO2 taxes, what could change in natural gas prices, whether we could have lower loads, higher loads, a wide variety of things were considered. And we also then considered power plants that were relative to our size. So peaking combustion turbines fired on natural gas, combined cycle units, which are peaking combustion turbines with a heat recovery steam generator on them, and then also coal-fired and renewables and some demand-side management. Across all of the scenarios, what we found was that we needed basically to have resources available to diversify against our coal-fired generation and to have the ability to meet intermediate loads. And customers have base load resources. That's basically the loads that you're serving at night. And then the loads that you're serving in the mornings and the evenings, those are your intermediate resources. And then the loads serving really on summer and winter extreme weather days are your peak demand resources. Intermediate resources kind of are in between. You use them not as much as a base load resource, but a lot less or a little bit more than a peaking resource. Under the wide variety of scenarios, the combined cycle resource built jointly with our sister utility, Cheyenne Light Fuel and Power, became the preferred option. That preferred option is good in ways beyond just the economics of the modeling that was done that selected it. It is at a location where we develop a new generation site. With the retirement of these coal-fired power plants, more and more of our generation is concentrated in about a square mile just east of Gillette. That has some risks associated with it. If a tornado were to go through, if there were problems with the transmission system, we now have a new site in Cheyenne. It also gives us an ability to expand this site. There's great access to natural gas. Multiple natural gas interstate pipelines are at that location. Plus, because it's in partnership with Cheyenne Light, we essentially have no transmission cost to bring that power from Cheyenne to the Black Hills because we essentially exchange power. They have generation in Gillette. We have generation in Cheyenne. We utilize each other's generation to serve our customers. So a lot of good operating strategic advantages along with what we felt was a justified economic result. We didn't start this process with an intent to add resources, but it was clear that with losing roughly 100 megawatts of resources over a three-year period of time, something would need to be added. And this opportunity was the best opportunity, we believe, for Black Hills Power's customers. It's about 55 megawatts. It will go into service in October of 2014 and serve customers for 30 to 40 years in a very economical way. The other thing that is unique is that rather than being a peaking resource that has about a 9,500 BTU heat rate, this is 7,500. And so there's considerable fuel savings when we do have to run it. And we demonstrate in some of the integrated resource planning that it will be utilized 20 to 40% of the time, depending on what future scenarios we're looking at for load growth in the Black Hills. So it does impact our customers' prices. We're sensitive to that. This phase-in plan is a way to help address those customer concerns. We were able to substitute short-term interest rates through a line of credit that the company has. The interest rate that's being reflected in this phase-in plan is less than 2% currently. Very, very attractive construction financing costs. In addition, by having worked with the commission and other utilities to pass this phase-in legislation, which became effective last year, there's the opportunity to reduce the company's investment in this generation. Traditionally, utilities will record on their books, their accounting records, an allowance for funds used during construction, essentially the cost of financing construction. Our customers are essentially prepaying that, which will reduce the investment required in this power generation by $8.5 million. And that's $8.5 million on a $95 million project, you know, 8% or more. In addition, we are able to phase in rates on a quarterly basis. Customers are seeing roughly a 1% increase every quarter. That helps them with their budgets. That helps reduce the impact when this power plant goes into rates next year on October 1st. We'll get about halfway there or so on the rate increase, we believe. The company will still have to file a rate case, as Commissioner Feagin indicated, to have this power plant included in base rates, and that will occur next year. But we believe that we have been in full compliance with the actual requirements of the statute and the spirit of the statute, in that it provides long-term savings for customers and mitigates rate impacts currently for our Black Hills Power customers. So, difficult decision, one that's been thoroughly evaluated. A unique opportunity was pursued in partnering in Cheyenne with our sister utility, which provides savings for both companies. And the Black Hills continue to be a great place to live, and will be a responsible provider of electric service now and for a long time.
Staff, do you have additional comments and for the ratepayer?
I don't know that I really have anything to add. I think Kyle.
So you agree with Mr. White?
I agree that this power plant is providing benefits to customers, diversity with the generation, where it's located, and the type of generation, and is a plant that will provide benefits for customers in the future.
Thank you.
I had a number of questions on, and they're covered real well, but I just want to hear from staff. You, and I appreciate your answer to Commissioner Feagin. Flat out, you do see the need for this plant then?
Overall, looking at the big picture, I think there is a need for it. We did have concerns, which we've already discussed. The settlement addresses those concerns.
Thank you. And I just need some clarification. There was some discussion on, if we go to page 5, paragraph 3 on the CPGS, it states that, and I'm concerned a little bit with the semantics and how this would work. The commission staff agrees to support the stipulation and not to oppose the inclusion of CPGS in rate base for determination of companies' South Dakota revenue requirement in companies' next and subsequent rate cases. That's basically saying that staff agrees in perpetuity never to challenge that. I'm curious, perhaps counsel can help me a little bit with this. You know, we heard from Mr. White, I believe, that says that staff agrees to this. The commission doesn't necessarily agree to it. How does this work then? Maybe Ms. Melhoff, you can help me out. If do we then have to order the staff to consider it? I mean, how, because we're trifurcated here. We have the commission, and then the commission staff, the council that works with that's not a part that we can't talk to. You know, how would that work?
Yeah, they will have to come back next year for a rate case to ask for approval to include this plant in rate base. Staff will not oppose that request. Our analysis would be no different next year than it is right now. We don't feel we need to go through all of this IRP analysis again. I think if you approve the phase-in...
Excuse me. Sherry, we're no longer in confidential. He can be here. You can be here. It's all right. Sherry makes a great sergeant at arms. So.
Obviously, we do not have pre-approval authority in South Dakota. This is just saying when the company comes back next year for a rate case, staff is not going to oppose it, but they will need commission approval at that time.
Thank you. And perhaps I should have asked Ms. Maney her concern. She had expressed some concern regarding CPGS and need. Do you wish to? I don't believe that's confidential.
I think your answer might get into confidential.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you. We have a clairvoyant analyst. Ms. Maney, would you wait just for a second? I'm going to see if I have any other questions that I need to point out, and then I'll get to that one.
Sure.
Energy cost adjustment. There's a great deal of discussion on the ECA, and staff and Black Hills Power, is there anything that is non-confidential that you wish to discuss at this juncture on that? Ask a question like that, of course, an attorney is going to say, no, we don't have anything.
Nothing with regard to those sections. They are confidential.
Okay. And staff expressed a concern with the past experience with volatility and natural gas price risk being a factor. And yet in Mark Luck's direct testimony, he states that it will provide a hedge against increases in future natural gas prices, and perhaps that was a question for long ago, but is there someone that can help me with that, how CPGS would provide a hedge against increases in future natural gas prices? It seems counterintuitive.
It's a comparison hedge. And the comparison is if we were to have built a peaking combustion turbine at a heat rate of 9,500 BTUs per kilowatt hour, that would consume more gas than the combined cycle unit that has a 7,500 BTU per hour. And so to the extent that you're burning less natural gas, that creates the perception of a hedge against gas prices.
Okay. Relatively speaking, everything's relative depending
yes.
on what we compare it to.
Exactly.
As opposed to a nuclear power plant or something like that, which is not on
the
table.
Doesn't use any gas.
right. Okay. Thank you. Well, then the only questions I have, I believe, are confidential, and I don't know that those would take a long time to answer. Forgive me for not asking those earlier. We'll go to confidential then. I'm turning off the web, and I will. Wait, I can. Yes, I will. I can.
Yeah.
Because Ms. Maney is on the phone.
Yeah.
Please remain on. and the web is on, and we are back into regular discussion. Any questions that are not confidential? Commissioner Nelson.
Thank you. And I'm going down the same trail that Commissioner Hansen was going down, and looking at the staff memo, bottom of page 6, where staff has said that you will not oppose the inclusion of CPGS in rate base when the next rate case comes in. You've talked all the way around this, but I don't find anywhere, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you have specifically determined that this is, in fact, prudent and said it in that many words. Am I missing it, or are you not at that point?
You're not missing it. The standard we're looking at is just and reasonable rates, and we feel that this settlement results in just and reasonable rates. I guess this goes back to that discussion we just had in confidential about need and saying the word prudent, I guess. We didn't feel we needed to. We feel the settlement results in just and reasonable rates, and that's the standard we are trying to meet.
The commitment that you've made to not oppose the inclusion of this plant in rate base, how important is that for you to make today? Because I will tell you, I am greatly troubled by your making that commitment today. How important is that to you?
I think it's just important that we've gone through all this work of evaluating the IRP and the decision to build this plant. We felt it was necessary to do so at this time before the phase-in rates were approved, and our analysis would be the same next year. And I realize we do not have a pre-approval authority, and we don't want to do that. It's just that our analysis wouldn't be any different. Staff doesn't feel we need to do the analysis again. At the same time, we do realize that the commission will need to provide us approval next year.
I think that's all the questions I've got.
Commissioner Feagin, do you have any questions? I was going to say Commissioner Rislov, but I skipped that part. Mr. Rislov.
If I could follow that up, Brittany, why won't the analysis change between now and next year?
When we're looking at IRP analysis, we're looking back at the decision that was made in 2011 when they did the IRP. That's not going to change. We'd still look at the analysis in the same way. All the information would be the same. It's looking back at what happened in 2011.
If I could ask a follow-up, Mr. Chairman. But my understanding is correct that you do reserve the right to examine the reasonableness of the expenditures.
Correct.
With a fine-tooth comb.
Yes.
My words, not yours.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Hearing none, do we have a motion? This is on EL-12-062. I move that the Commission grant Black Hills Power and Black Hill Industrial Intervenors joint motion for approval of settlement agreement. Do I need to state that that's effect? No, I don't. That's my motion. Discussion? Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Is there a motion on the next portion? I will move that in EL-12-062 that the Commission grant staffs and Black Hills Power joint motion for approval of settlement stipulation. there a discussion on that motion?
I do have a couple comments when you're
ready. I think we all do. Commissioner Fegan?
Once again, I want to thank Black Hills Power for really working hard for a low finance rate. It's a short-term rate, but it certainly saves ratepayers money. And this is our first experiment kind of in a phase-in. And the finance rate is extremely low when you look at 2% or less or whatever you negotiated. And that saves ratepayers money at the end. As all three commissioners, you can tell that when we read that staff will not oppose the facility at the next rate base hearing, which we all know is coming because in South Dakota, we don't pay for a plant until it is used or useful. But the commission still has the authority to look at that and see if it is prudent. And I am comfortable that the law has certainly given us that responsibility to look at it after it is built. I appreciate the diversity of the generation, not only the generation, but also the location. You're right. If there is a tornado out in Gillette, Wyoming, which I hope not because I have relatives out there and there's many great people out in Wyoming, but that could cause a reliability issue, and I believe the combined cycle certainly helps us with some diversity in generation but also location. So I'm certainly supporting the motion today, and I'm thankful that both of you worked out a settlement that really benefits our consumers.
Thank you. Commissioner Nelson?
Let me start with a statement. I guess the first statement would be that the financing plan that you have offered here, I think, is phenomenal. You've obviously gone to great lengths to make sure that you've done this as cheaply as possible in the financing portion, and certainly want to support that. Let me just throw one final question, if I could, to the company. If we were to, as a commission, remove the singular phrase that that staff has offered that they will not oppose inclusion in rate base, if we were to remove that, now, removed from the settlement, but obviously we're not giving them any direction as to where they're going to ultimately end up next year. But if we were to remove that from the settlement, is that a deal breaker for you?
Well, although the commission is not viewing this as essentially a review of the decision to build Cheyenne Prairie, the staff certainly did. And they hired a consultant to review the decisions in 2011. They formed opinions, and we had extensive negotiations, extensive discussion. The company made some fairly significant compromises in order to satisfy concerns of staff. Those compromises were in exchange for this being an issue that staff would no longer bring forward, so it would be a deal breaker.
Let me just turn to my two fellow commissioners. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I mean, this is a little, I've got a little heartburn here. But I also understand where both sides are coming from. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. It's just, you know, and Kyle, you were very upfront in your direct testimony that, you know, this is something we're going to decide next year. And I appreciate that because I think you were right in that. And then when we get the settlement, all of a sudden, it's like, well, no, it's a done deal, and we're not going to necessarily deal with it next year. So I'd just like to ask my two fellow commissioners, what are you thinking on this? Am I out here on the Lone Ranger mission, or what are you thinking?
Well, my final remarks would have addressed it to an extent. I think you can see on my screen I have the agreement, and I have that paragraph still on my screen regarding the CPGS, and that's why I asked for that clarification, and my notes are still turned to that. It's of utmost importance to me. I don't like making deals where I lock myself or I lock future commissions into a particular situation. I like to have options available. And in business, I think you just have to do that. This was last night, even matter of fact, I was I generally work late, and that's where I see the analysts are always working late too. Ms. Melhoff happened to walk by my door as she was, I don't know, fixing dinner or something at about 8 o'clock at night, or 9 o'clock, and I said, "Well, it'll all be over tomorrow." And then we both kind of looked at each other and thought, well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. And that's as much as we can chat with each other about these things when we're outside of this room. I had this as a huge sticking point until we got into the semantics and I heard Mr. White state that staff can't bring it up. The commission can bring it up. And it's obvious that the commission's going to bring it up, that it is a concern of the commission. So from that perspective, when I read and I look at this particular paragraph where it says commission staff agrees to support the stipulation, not to oppose it, et cetera, in subsequent rate cases, I do not feel constrained. I do not feel that the commissioners cannot discuss it or bring it up. And certainly I don't think we can lock a future commission into that either. So from that standpoint, no, I don't look at it in the way that this has been drawn up as a deal breaker. To answer your question.
Thank you.
As you can tell, all three commissioners were, it was a red flag for all three commissioners. I remember emailing or texting our advisor, Mr. Gregg, right away when I read that. And I asked him all sorts of questions, and we went back and forth, several emails and then phone calls and face-to-face conversations, because I don't think the commission, you can tell that the commission absolutely takes our legal authority very literal, and pre-approval certainly is not part of that. I believe the commission has the authority that it needs on next April or October to maybe say no. If we don't think the need is there. But the staff have worked pretty hard on this, and I feel like to take it out of the settlement is a deal breaker, and also it adds to more workload when we have our next rate case, when they already looked at this. I do believe there needs to be some diversity in generation at Black Hills Power. When you look at your base load and you look at coal generation, and we hear from the EPA and we get on phone calls with them and they tell us they're going to be flexible. I think all of us laughed pretty hard about 2 weeks ago when they told us that. So it's hard to be a visionary in an electrical company right now in the U.S. because of where our regulations from the federal government is coming. But I certainly believe the commission has the right to change, to make a final decision on the need during the rate case, which the law says, and staff made an agreement with Black Hills Power that they won't oppose it, doesn't mean the commission won't oppose it.
Thank you. I just want to publicly thank both of you for kind of fleshing that out with me. I appreciate it.
Further discussion on the motion? I would just like to add that I agree wholeheartedly with both of my fellow commissioners, that folks outside of this room, other than those people who are a part of the rate-making process, simply don't know how extraordinarily challenging it is and how nuanced a rate case is from a standpoint of all the different things that have to be examined and the tremendous amount of work that people go into. I know from experience with my staff how hard they work in these rate cases. I can imagine that it is similar for the staff of the utility companies. when we received the mounds and mounds of papers and the tremendous amount of give and take and discussion that has to go back, has to transcend through the process. And I believe that this is a very comprehensive agreement, that it is a very well-balanced agreement, that it's fair and just, it's equitable, and from a standpoint of making certain that a utility company can continue to function, which is of utmost importance in order to have reliability. Everyone wants to have a safe, reliable, affordable resource from the utility company. The utility company has to be able to survive, and that's why we have rate cases. At the same time, it's our responsibility not only to make certain that a utility can survive, but that the ratepayer is not taken advantage of. And I tremendously appreciate the amount of work that was done by staff and going through all of the processes in order to make certain that the citizens of South Dakota are protected. And they did an admirable job at that. We truly appreciate that. So with that, those are my final comments. And Commissioner Nelson has a final comment.
You just want to reiterate how impressed I am with the financing package that the company came up with. I mean, I think this is a perfect use of the phase-in statutes, a great way to do it, certainly support that, but would also reiterate what my two fellow commissioners have said, that we, as a commission, reserve the right to very carefully examine the inclusion of the plant in rate base when that time comes.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Commissioner Nelson on the motion. Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. And thank you all very, very much for your participation and the hard work that you did. Those of you on the phone, thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. We stand adjourned. Please travel safe, everyone.